This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher, trader Nick, and financial writer for Oanda, Christian Norman. How are you doing, guys?
Good to be with you guys.
Nice to be with you.
Great to be here. Thank you, Johnny. It's a pleasure.
Now, it's a busy old day, busy last 24 hours, certainly for central banks across the globe. Let us start with what we heard from the US Fed yesterday. Of course, we've had the Bank of England announcing its decision on interest rates today. But yesterday, I think, will be more interesting, Nick, particularly for you on your side of the Atlantic. As expected, it was nailed on 100% chance of an interest rate cut, and that's what they did. But I think it was the forward guidance from Jay Powell and the rest of the Fed team, that was the most interesting, wasn't it?
It certainly was, Johnny. And it was a really big day yesterday for a lot of people who were anticipating the Fed to begin interest rate cuts. I also saw there was a little bit of cheering in the mortgage rate world because a lot of people who want to buy homes, it's been a very locked up housing market in the United States as other places as well. And it's been, you know, it was definitely welcomed by the market. We do see today the NASDAQ is up 1%, S&P is up 0.6%. So the bigger theme is people are excited and happy with rate cuts. However, the commentary, we actually have a dollar that is moving higher here today. So the US dollar is up. We also see the VIX lower here today. So what's going on with the dollar? Well, long story short, Powell called the cut yesterday a quote-unquote risk management cut, citing risks to both sides of the dual mandate that the Federal Reserve kind of is their job is to focus on, which is, of course, maximum employment as well as price stability. And so essentially, Powell mentioned that there were concerns that have started to rise in the labor statistics data, though I think what maybe the market is hearing was that Powell does not necessarily fully agree with the dovishness that the market sort of has in mind. The bond market, the two-year yield has been trending lower here recently. Powell did, of course, kind of give in to, of course, the idea that we could cut rates further if the jobs market declines further, but pushed back on the idea that, you know, this was sort of an incredibly, you know, needed or that they feel behind the curve. He also pointed out that the thought of a 50 basis point cut was completely off of the table for the most part. So while the market thought that might be a thing, Powell kind of dashed those hopes. And so, yes, there are still projections for rate cuts to continue to go forward for the rest of this year. But calling it a risk management cut definitely sort of puts it more in the perspective of limited room for cuts because we still have to keep an eye on that inflation problem. And it did to me come across that Powell is a little bit more, I wouldn't call him hawkish, but more hawkish than perhaps the rest of the market and some of his committee members. We did also see one of the new Fed committee members actually voting in favor of a 50 basis point cut. So there was a little bit of a dissent there.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Obviously, the justification behind the cut focuses on, as you said, employment rather than inflation, because the labor market has certainly been deteriorating more rapidly than expected, with the unemployment rate actually reaching its highest level since October 2021. So, yes, a little bit more hawkish from Jay Powell, Kenny, but this idea of two more rate cuts this year, that's what was expected. I mean, I suppose we could have more depending on what happens in the US economy, particularly when it comes to employment.
It seems that, as Nick mentioned, the Fed chair was trying to perhaps dampen hopes of rate cuts in October and December, but it looks like the markets have seized on the dot plot. The rate expectations indicated by the members, although it's anonymous, it seems that there's a majority of members who are looking at a rate cut or two rate cuts before the end of the year. And just looked before we got on air, the markets have priced in an 85% probability of a rate cut in October, which is extremely high coming so quickly after a rate decision. So as Nick mentioned, it seems that the markets are quite excited about a rate cut and Powell may be trying to dampen that a little bit. But of course, we'll have to keep an eye on the upcoming inflation and job market data to see where the Fed leads us.
I want to bring Christian in now. Christian, by the way, welcome to the podcast. It is your debut day, an auspicious day to do that because, of course, we've got the Bank of England's announcement today. We've got the Fed yesterday. And as we speak, US President Donald Trump is giving a press conference with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer right now. And in fact, I mean, from an economics point of view, in terms of the economy for both us here in the UK, they've announced billions of pounds of investment. But we're not going to talk about that today. I want to ask you first, Christian, your reflection and reaction to the Fed, and then we'll go into the Bank of England. What did you think about what's been said by the guys here and what others have said over the last few hours?
Well, I will say it's certainly an interesting time to be a trader. Of course, in no small part, thanks to what happened in the States yesterday with the Federal Reserve voting to cut rates. I'll share this personal anecdote, and it's so interesting to me how things have changed in the past couple of months. You've seen a labor market that was seemingly ported to be strong, and the main justification for the Fed in keeping rates at 4.5%. That narrative is almost 180 degrees from where we are today. Of course, we've seen some serious revisions in NFP numbers. We've seen what's happened with the unemployment rate. We've seen what's happened with the jobless claims week over week. And it's just so interesting how the narrative can change so, so quickly. And the Fed has now been put in a position where they need to cut rates to support that suffering job market. So it's certainly an interesting time to be a trader. Lots of things happening as ever. But in the States, of course, that interest rate cut is so significant, especially considering rates have been exactly the same since December 2024. So we'll see how things continue. But certainly, we're in for an interesting ride between now and the end of the year. That's for sure.
Earlier on, we saw very expectedly UK rates held at 4%. And the Bank of England governor has actually warned that we are, quote unquote, not out of the woods yet in terms of rising inflation. So I think of all the central banks, Christian, probably this one here in the UK, the Bank of England, is the most hawkish of them all.
I can certainly see a case to support so. I mean, we saw a very similar story out of the Eurozone last week with the ECB maintaining rates as they have been. And I think if you look at probabilities, the Bank of England amongst some of the most hawkish, as you say, Johnny, the ECB also somewhat hawkish. And we'll see how things continue. Of course, rates are likely to remain the same if things stay the same now in the UK and in the Eurozone. Rates to be unchanged till the end of the year at the very least. So we'll see how things continue from here on out.
And while it kept rates on hold this time, the bank has said actually that two of the nine members of the Monetary Policy Committee, in fact, voted to cut rates to 3.75%. We'll have the MPC meeting two more times this year to discuss rates. And the bank has said any further cuts would depend on whether it sees evidence that price pressures were easing. Kenny, is there any likelihood of that, do you think?
The split vote, as you mentioned, Johnny, is quite interesting. It's the second one that we've seen in just 2 months. Last month, the Bank of England had to go through two rounds of voting, which was unprecedented. And at the end, they lowered rates, but only based on a 5-4 very tight vote. Today's vote was 7-2, two members voting in favor of the rate cut. The markets had expected an 8-1 vote. So we do see some dissension within the Bank of England. It looks like Governor Bailey has to balance inflation versus employment. And there is a swell, I think, an undercurrent of movement towards cutting rates, as we've seen in the last two decisions. But Bailey himself is trying to walk this tightrope between inflation and employment. As you mentioned, inflation is very high. It's hit 3.8%, which is almost double the Bank of England's target. Today's meeting mentioned that, according to the Bank of England, employment growth is at zero. And they blame the employer national contribution taxes that have gone up from the government's budget. And Bailey himself said that, as you mentioned, any future cuts will be gradual and carefully thought out. As Christian mentioned, we may not see any rate cuts until next year. But that, again, will depend on inflation, if they can get a handle on it. If inflation stays this high, and the Bank of England has said that inflation could peak at 4%, then I would agree that we won't see any rate cuts until next year at the earliest.
And the bank is also concerned with business sentiment at the moment, which it said was downbeat. And they're looking ahead to, you mentioned the budget, and it wasn't very popular amongst the business community, Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor of the Exchequer's budget. And that's coming up soon on the 26th of November, which is actually rather late in the year. That has created more uncertainty because there are concerns. I mean, you've just talked about the national insurance contributions that businesses had to make, and that has increased inflation as well over the last few months. And they are concerned that there might be some more tax rises coming up at the end of November. But Nick, I think you wanted to mention the latest data from your side of the pond on unemployment claims, because that was quite interesting.
Yeah, last week, Johnny, we had a spike in unemployment claims, which to me was a red flag to keep an eye on going into this week. And actually, to the appeasement of the labor market data, we actually saw unemployment claims this week come in lower than forecast. So last week, we had a big spike, a big surprise in upward claims. But this week, we actually saw a downward surprise, which is a positive one, right? Less people filing for unemployment claims. Forecasted 241 came in at 231. This is definitely a supportive data point to the sea of red, I should say, that we've had in terms of U.S. Labor statistics recently. Christian, it's been a busy week when it comes to central banks. You're going to keep us updated on the SNB, the Swiss National Bank. What's going on over there?
You're quite right in saying, Nick, it's been an interesting week, that I can assure you. Of course, we have the Bank of England earlier today. Eurozone last week, truthfully speaking, SNB is not voting till December this year. But I did have a quick look at the dollar-franc exchange rate earlier this week, especially on Tuesday, and not for the first time this year. The franc is at 15-year highs versus the dollar. And that's something I could have said a few times this year. And I suppose as a trader, in my own mind at least, I'm always expecting the SNB to be looking at the franc exchange rate, looking at the recent strength and thinking it's time to intervene. Of course, the SNB has gone on record talking against excessive strength in the franc to help support the export part of the economy. But it would certainly seem that the market has come to at least some kind of realization in the last month or so that the SNB is more comfortable with a strong franc than previously thought. Of course, we have had some new leadership at the SNB in the past year or so. And if you look at the statistics, the Swiss franc itself is the best performing currency, major currency, I should say, of 2025 so far at the time of recording, with the euro hot on its heels in second place. But I suppose now looking at the way the SNB is looking at the exchange rate, and thinking perhaps currency intervention is less likely than it has been in previous years as we know it, knowing that the SNB is changing their tact ever so slightly, at least in the short term, that has removed that downside limit, the dollar-franc exchange rate. And we saw on Tuesday what happened. This change in narrative, this change in rhetoric, and the franc extending its gains once again versus the dollar and continuing that streak of good performance percentage-wise this year. So we'll see how this affects things going into the upcoming SNB rate decision later this year. But it's certainly an interesting dilemma for the SNB to approach and a complete change of the status quo as we know it. So interesting times in the Swiss economy as well.
Very interesting. Christian, it's been great having you on for the first time today. We look forward to more from you over the next few weeks and months. Kenny, Nick, thank you very much as well. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to be with you, guys.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.